from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Kat Snow. 100 years ago this month, the National Park Service was founded to protect the nation's iconic landscapes from threats such as logging, hunting, and overgrazing. Today, a different set of challenges looms. In the first of a two-part series, we head to Joshua Tree National Park in the Southern California desert. KQED science reporter Lauren Sommer tells us the park's namesake tree is disappearing in a warming climate.
Joshua trees, if you haven't seen them, are pretty bizarre looking.
It's something that you don't even imagine could live on Earth, and here it is. It's something very alien.
Cameron Barrows is standing right underneath one. It's tall, with shaggy bark and spiky leaves at the end of every branch.
It's like a Dr. Seuss book.
Which is kind of appropriate, because if these are Dr. Seuss trees, then Barrows is the Lorax, the one who speaks for the trees. He's an ecologist at UC Riverside.
The biggest ones over there, those could be anywhere from 150 to 250 years old.
They stretch across the dusty valley we're in, 2 hours east of LA. Here, Barrows and his research team are trying to find out what will happen to the trees that named this national park.
This one is 690 and 31.
The field crew uses yardsticks to map the location and condition of every Joshua tree and every shrub and cactus.
It's a 5 living condition, super happy.
They do this yearly to see how things are changing. And to the untrained eye, it looks pretty good here, big Joshua trees. But Barrow sees the opposite.
We want to see babies, and what we're not seeing are individual seedlings that are coming up.
The youngest trees here are 30 to 40 years old, which means seedlings aren't surviving. And the likely culprit, Barrow says, is climate change. Joshua trees already live on the edge. They survive 120 degree summers and 1 inch of rain per year.
They're well adapted to what we have now, but you turn up the temperature a couple of degrees and that would be the end of most of these plants.
The seedlings just can't handle it. At the rate the planet is warming, Barrows expects Joshua tree habitat in the park to shrink by as much as 90% by the end of the century. His findings really shook up people who work here.
What are we going to do? This landscape that people love out here and is going to disappear.
People joked, somewhat bleakly, that without Joshua trees, the park would have to change its name. Barrows says there may be a way to avoid that.
There's a little one sprouting there. There's another one over there.
About half an hour away, Barrows is finding baby Joshua trees. The difference is that we're at a higher elevation, so it's a little cooler and wetter.
There are these little niches within this landscape that should be able to sustain Joshua trees.
These little pockets are a fraction of what's here now, but they're still within the national park boundary.
This site is actually looking pretty good.
Kristen LaLumiere is also scoping out the baby Joshua trees, which just come up to her knees. She's a biologist with the National Park Service.
You walk to a site like this where there are some and your spirits lift.
She says the Park Service is looking at how to manage these refuge areas so the trees have a chance, either by keeping out wildfires or controlling invasive species. Park officials are also considering public displays, explaining to visitors that the Joshua trees they see today might one day be gone. It's not the only park facing that dilemma.
We are already seeing the effects of climate change throughout the national park system.
John Jarvis is director of the National Park Service. He says there are almost too many examples to list. Sea level rise threatens Everglades National Park in Florida. Glacier National Park in Montana will lose its glaciers completely.
I think it is inevitable at this point, yeah.
Which creates a more complicated mission for the National Park Service, he says. Until now, the goal has been preserving parks and all the plants and animals in them. Now, that probably isn't possible.
Managing for continuous change, harder to imagine, harder to visualize.
Jarvis says connecting open spaces with national parks will be key, so plants and animals can move as the climate changes. The other job will be reaching out to the public.
These are places that people care about, and maybe it can stimulate their own actions as a result of seeing the effects of climate change in our national parks.
Jarvis still hopes that 100 years from now, the Joshua trees that visitors see in the national park aren't just in pictures on the welcome sign. I'm Lauren Sommer, KQED News.
Support of KQED Science is provided by the David B. Gold Foundation, the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, and the Dirk and Charlene Cabzanel Foundation.